here in the hour number two of the program, you can bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Right back into your calls. Tom is on the line in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How
hey,
you doing?
You're just great. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, you know what? I just wanted to let you know, I've been a podcast listener for about a year and a half now, and I really never was involved in politics and really knew too much about it until I started listening, and, you know, it kind of moved me in a way that, and it kind of changed the way I think about a lot of things, and first of all, I want to say I'm sorry to the KG Easy situation there, because I really like the callers from there, and it's just a shame the way that went down. But
yeah.
I think the problem may be, if you don't mind me saying, Ian, I don't want to be disrespectful, but I think sometimes that you seem a little bit insensitive to issues, regardless if it's something about a conspiracy or anything else. You know, it just seems like sometimes you're quick to cut people off. And maybe
Well, it depends. You know, I see how you can you might interpret it that way, but it really depends on how the person who's calling is behaving. I understand that that's what people pay attention to, is when people's calls get cut short. But on the same, you know, to counter what it is that you're saying, there are certain people that call in, like Paula or Jeff. And, you know, these people that we've had extended conversations with them about their conspiracy, you know, their fringe conspiracy ideas. So it really depends, because those people you can have discussions with without them yelling or getting angry at the fact that you aren't really, you know, taking them too seriously. Those people that, you know, that want to have that attitude are going to not last as long, and that's just a fact. But as we all, I think, admitted earlier this week, that we definitely have come to the conclusion that we were being a bit too nasty, I think, with the fringe conspiracy theorists. And so that, all that said, they've been nasty with us, some of them, and it's those people that I just am somewhat intolerant of, and I think that's okay.
Let me say this, too, because I don't exactly believe a damn word any of them people say, usually, because it seems like a bunch of crap. I mean,
yeah.
But you know, I just think that you know, not only them, but everyone in general should be treated equally. You know, and Paula, I probably wouldn't even take her calls anymore, honestly, because
I don't even know Paula's calls. It doesn't matter if what you're talking about is crazy, as long as you're willing to answer questions about it and talk to us and have a discussion, we'll talk with you. But a lot of these people that call in, they get uppity. If they get on the air and they start spouting off their facts about, you know, well, Building 7 and the Pentagon and missiles and planes, blah, 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 whatever it is that, you know, they're spewing off, whatever it is they want to get out there, they start spewing off their claims, and we want to ask questions. We want to clarify. We want to understand what it is they're talking about. And but if you interrupt to ask a question, then they start complaining because you're interrupting. Well, I've got this whole list of things that I want to get out here, and you're getting in my way. This is supposed to be Free Talk Live, but they don't understand this is a talk radio show, and in order to have good talk radio, we have to have conversations. This is not, you know, the Free Talk Live lecture series where everybody can call in and just blather on, which some of these people apparently believe they'll be able to do, and then they get very upset and very angry at us when we just simply try to have a conversation. Well, those people I won't tolerate.
I think that what they're experiencing there is, for instance, if somebody's going to make a multifaceted point and we don't agree with the first facet of the point, we immediately jump in and you know, refute that first facet, so they don't get to get their entire thought process out. However, if you and I want to make a multifaceted point, we'll say, hold on, and we'll talk over them and we will finish our point. You know, like that part doesn't seem fair to people.
I don't think we normally make multifaceted points. Usually we're responding and asking questions to that individual. So I don't think so, Mark. And there have been certainly plenty of times when you have allowed, I know you've wanted to jump into a conversation, but you know, you've allowed that person to get some points out before you jump in. But we're talking about the types of personalities where if they don't get to get out 100% of whatever it is that they wanted to originally say, you know, then they start
some people talk you into the dirt. That's
then they start screaming that we're part of the conspiracy, you know, we're New World Order slaves, or you know, we're owned by the Bilderbergers or whatever other paranoid crackpottery, or that we're on the CIA payroll, and that, you know, how dare we? Which is, of course, just absolutely ludicrous. I mean, why would we even take their calls?
I mean, well, I understand that, and I definitely don't agree with, you know, 100% of all those weird theories, you know. And I just want to end with a positive note, you guys. I you know, like I said, I've been listening for about a year and a half on podcasts, and I've been really trying to coerce my wife into joining the Free State Project. I really want to be a part of this movement, and I just want to try to, you know, I was just giving you a little bit of constructive criticism.
Oh, no,
I
appreciate it.
I appreciate it, and we want to talk about it.
Yeah, I didn't want to make it seem like it wasn't appreciated. I absolutely do understand where you're coming from, but you have to also understand, and I thank you for the call, Tom. Thank you for your thoughts. But you also have to understand that there's people out there. For instance, I saw there was, because we can't satisfy everybody. If we let these people talk on and on and on, that will satisfy them. But the listeners are really the most important part of the show, not the callers. The callers are the most important element of the show. But if we don't have people listening to the show, then there is no show. And one of the people on our message board posted that he had turned his friend on in Tampa to Free Talk Live and said, hey, you should check this show out. It's on Saturday nights now, because that's when we're on in Tampa on 970 WFLA. And he listened, and he heard a bunch of these fringers calling in, and it turned him off. He thought that maybe we were giving them too much time in his
opinion. A lot of listeners give you 5 minutes.
Yeah.
On radio, they give you 5 minutes.
Right, even though we try to make it clear that this is the show that anyone can call in about anything. So if you've got some fringe conspiracy theory, you can call in. If you want to talk about an issue, if you want to talk about a personal problem, you can call in about all that stuff. So, but I don't know if he got that under. I don't know if he understood that this was an open format radio show or whatever. But maybe somebody like him says, "Wow, they're talking too much about this conspiracy crap." Whereas the fringe conspiracy theorists don't think we talk enough about it, and they get upset when they aren't allowed to just yammer on about every other little factoid about 9/11 or whatever it is they're promoting that day.
Yeah.
So you know. There's some sort of delicate balancing act that has to go on behind the scenes here, and that balancing act is a conversation. Because if we just let people call in and just blah, 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 and we don't say anything back, then it does sound like we're promoting those ideas, and it does sound like we're in agreement with them, and that we're just allowing this show to be a sounding board for people like that. They can call, and they can get a couple points out, but then we're going to discuss. And if they have a problem with that, call another show. Because there are a bunch of conspiracy shows out there that would love to have you, you know, stroke them about how great they are and, you know, talk about all the little factoids that everybody's heard 100 times if they pay attention to that stuff. So I hope that makes it clear where we're coming from. 800-259-9231 is the number. Let's jump to the email box here. Frank emails in. He says, hey, I've been working in advanced computer tech support since 2000. This year, I'm being forced to go on long-term disability for a medical condition. My insurance company told me I have to apply for government SSI because my insurance policy requires me to do so in order to get benefits.
Mm.
He says, I want to work, but I don't want to be, and I don't want to be disabled. I will get back to work as soon as possible, but should I accept money from the government? If I do not, accepting your free market philosophy ideal as a current possibility, then who should I turn to so I can eat, pay my mortgage, and not have to worry about freezing to death in the winter or bursting of bloated heat during the summer?
You know, it's not an easy question to answer. And there's two sides to this. Basically, am I creating a demand, by taking this stuff, am I creating a demand for it in the marketplace that then people feel justified in creating the supply through government coercion, right? You understand?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, I would feel bad sending my kid to public school, even though I pay my property taxes and have since I've owned a home. And
yeah, but that's not a life or death situation.
Understood.
This guy's where his health is on the line.
Right, right. I know what you're saying. I'm just giving examples from my life, and my life has not been on the line.
Right.
However, at the same time, the government's a big thief, essentially. You know, they go out there and they steal money from people through the threat of taking their houses away. In the case of SSI, the threat is likely to throw you in jail or to threaten your the business owner whom you work for with being out of business. So if you've paid into SSI all along, that doesn't mean you paid in. They've stolen your money, and if the thief is out in the middle of the square giving out $10 bills, there's really nothing wrong with you going and trying to get some of those $10 bills that he's stolen from everyone.
I have to agree. It may seem inappropriate. It may seem unprincipled. And there may be some level of truth to that statement. But it is the money that you paid in. So it's all right to take it back out. And then there's also
the fact
that... I just
like the feeling of sanctimony I get by not using the stuff that they have.
Right. But then there's also the fact that government sort of alleviates the charity market to some extent. We can talk about that in a moment here and how that's negative in this whole scheme of things. More on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Welcome to the Shack Radio Minute, with thoughts and commentary on spirituality by the author and collaborators of the best-selling book, The Shack. Here's Paul Young, Brad Cummings, and Wayne Jacobson.
Now, Wayne and Brad, you guys have been heralded as the new publishing gurus with such incredible marketing whiz, and you're so brilliant.
Uh-huh.
They don't live with us. So how do you deal with this when you've got this coming at you as far as The Shack and its incredible impact? And
you know, I don't think people have seen a phenomenon in recent years like what's happening, and that's a blast. But I think we would have to be honest. There's obviously something bigger going on. This is striking a chord deep in the hearts of people, and it's a story that's helping navigate people through the rough stuff of life.
Yeah, the shock is that no one else understood that. I think this story pretty much sells itself. People really want to read this, pass it on to their friends. That's the story we've seen. So I don't think we're any kind of gurus about it, but we have been given a wonderful little gift to be stewards of.
For more information on the New York Times bestselling book, The Shack, please visit theshackbook.com. What if there is a God who really loves you? For those who have ever wondered how God can exist in a world of unspeakable tragedy and sadness comes a riveting new novel that could change the way you think about God. The Shack. Number one on the New York Times bestseller list for the last 7 weeks is the most talked about book of the year. It's an uplifting, endearing, unconventional look at a man, his pain, and an unbelievable encounter. The Shack is available wherever books are sold.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Attention. This is an extremely urgent, self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secrets of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free. We've got archives. If you've missed a moment of the show, just click and download from the front page of the website at freetalklive.com.
Been trying a new weight loss supplement. It's helping me to eat less. It's also helping me lose a little weight. I've lost a couple of pounds. Haven't weighed myself, but in the last few days. But I had lost 2 pounds after about 10 days, and we'll be checking again soon. It's Dex C20. You can try it out. By just going to your most major retailers, Walgreens, CVS, that kind of thing. I believe they have it at Walmart in the pharmacy section. Or you can go to diet.freetalklive.com. That's diet.freetalklive.com. DEXC20.
All right. As we continue this email from Frank, he has got a situation where his insurance company has told him he has to apply for government Social Security insurance. Or I guess, is that what SSI stands for? Social Security Insurance? Anyway, because his policy requires it to do or requires him to do so in order to get benefits that they're forcing him to go on long-term, apparently he's being forced to go on long-term disability for his medical condition. He's concerned about the idea of accepting money from the government for this purpose. But there are reasons why that it's not as bad as, you know, you might think. I mean, if you're living as much of your life from a principled pro-liberty perspective wherein you don't want to aggress against your neighbors, and you understand that government is force and government is coercion, so it can be difficult to accept something like this when you have that understanding in your head about what government is. But at the same time, it's like you said, Mark, they're passing out some of the money they've stolen from you. Is there something inherently wrong with taking it? I'm sure someone could make that argument, but I can't agree. I think that there's nothing particularly wrong about that, especially considering that the government, as you said during the break, Wayne, destroys the charity market. And I like that term better than alleviates it. I was going to say, like, alleviates the demand. But basically, government, by stealing people's money and claiming to be helping people with it, it creates an illusion in people's mind that, well, they don't need to give to charity because they've already paid taxes, and so therefore government is going to take care of those people.
The government's job, in other words. They think that, and they see some homeless person on the street or some person who needs help, and they think, I don't have the money. I gave all my money to the government. I gave it the office.
Yeah. So that reduces the demand on the people that would normally be giving money to charities, but they can just tell themselves, well, I've already paid taxes, so I've taken care of that. Or my story would be, well, I would have given money to charity, but I paid so much in taxes that I can't afford to do it. I had originally, as you know, talked about on this program earlier this year about how I wanted to stop paying property taxes. The only reason I didn't stop was because Julia basically said that she was going to be pretty pissed about that, and she wasn't ready to make that move in her life. And she's living with me right now, and I wasn't ready to, you know, I don't want to throw her out on the street or anything like that or make her feel like she has to leave. So it was really, it ended up being a real personal conflict where I wanted to do one thing, but I also want to keep Julia around, and so I went in that direction.
Good. You know, you have to pick your battles.
Right. And she said, you know, well, I should wait until there's five people that are also willing to stop paying property taxes, and I thought that was a reasonable idea. But as a result, I paid $2,500 for half a year in property taxes, and originally what I was going to do with that money was take a chunk of it, considering I was going to save X amount by not paying for the school portion of the property taxes, which is like 60%. So to save like $1,200 or something like that by not paying, maybe like $1,300 or $1,400, by not paying the school portion of that $2,500, and I could have taken a big chunk of that. And in fact, I planned to give a portion of that, like at least $500, to the Liberty Scholarship Fund. I wanted to give some of that money to charity, but really, I don't have very much else at the moment as far as disposable income, because I've got AMP money coming in, but that's for the show, so that's being reinvested in the show. As far as my personal finances are concerned, I don't make a lot of money doing this. I make enough to live, but I don't have a whole lot of extra.
I take all of it.
So you do take a good chunk, and you deserve it. So that's one of the reasons why I didn't give that money to the Liberty Scholarship Fund this year, because I felt like I had to give it to the gang. So if people didn't have, if they didn't feel like they had this obligation to pay the government gangsters these property taxes, they'd have more money in their pocket, and they'd be more likely to give to charity. I know that I would.
Not to mention our phony fiat money system also impoverishes people and causes them to be in that position as well. There's just so many areas where we're creating this problem with government handling of all these things, and then, of course, an inflationary fiat money system.
Frank continues with a few other questions. He says, would you be willing to be charitable as you promote for the rest of the free market enough to support my life so that I can return to the free market as soon as possible after receiving my medical care? Oh, you're not responsible for my medical care for sure, but where is this charity you talk about when talking about your particular free enterprise? Do you give to any charities? Is his question.
Are you asking me?
Everybody.
I give to Salvation Army, Goodwill, let's see, at St. Jude's Hospital, but it's been a little while since I've written them a check. There's a mission group that I support also, so, you know, I mean, my stuff gets around. Church?
Well, I give to charity, I guess, through giving you a paycheck, Mark.
But you consider that charity?
I don't actually give anything that I can think of to any charities. I mean, I buy things from time to time, you know, at a bake sale or something like that, but nothing of any significance, but I do make a lot of money.
I agree with you. I do like it that when I see bake sales and that kind of thing going on, there was a group of guys out at the Walmart there selling baked goods for the Phoenix House or mm-hmm. something like that, and I thought I'd help him out, so I bought a Rice Krispie treat, and it was the worst Rice Krispie treat I've ever had in my life. But, you know, I mean, even though I didn't eat their little Rice Krispie treat, I gave them a couple of bucks, and I generally do that.
Wayne, how about you?
Yes, I donate to several charities, and also every Christmas season, my wife and I try to find a family in our community that's going through tough times and help them maybe send over a big turkey dinner or something like that that helps them out and whatever else we can do to get them on their way. One year, we've met up with a family whose dad had been killed in a motorcycle about a month before. Mm. And they had a lot of issues dealing with the loss of income from him and so on. So we tried to help them out. But there's always somebody in your community, and you can do this. It's actually a very nice time around the holidays when it's getting cold and people are supposed to be happy, but yet you have a family who can't really be happy because it's really an effort to be because of something that's happened in their life recently.
Now, 20-somethings generally have less disposable income with which to give to things like charity. I'm in my late 20s. Mark, you're in your mid-30s. And Wayne, I think
you're
80.
I think you qualify me as late 30s at this
87?
Point.
80. I can't tell. I stopped at 35.
But you guys have had more time in order to accumulate a little bit more wealth. You guys are also making a little bit more money. So.
I think you just feel more responsible as you get older, too, quite honestly. Yeah. I swear to God, I think you do.
I absolutely would give money to charity if I wasn't spending $5,000 a year, more than that, actually, on property taxes.
You spend a lot more on property taxes than I do. That's
yeah,
sure.
Right. Yours is like, what, $1,500 or something like that? Or $1,800?
This year it was cheap because we had, we're paying for last year. There was nothing on the property.
So we'd love your thoughts on this issue or whatever you want to talk about. Let's go to Bill in Oklahoma. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Bill.
Hello, gang. How are you guys doing this evening?
Great. What's on your mind,
hey, Bill?
Well, first I want to go ahead and thank you for taking my call. And we finally got into a topic that I actually know something about, and
okay.
That's dealing with government handing out of money because I'm currently on their payroll as far as collecting disability is concerned. And I'm slowly trying to get myself off the system. So my first gut reaction to this gentleman is to, while I understand why his insurance company is wanting him to file for SSI, it's more or less to prove to them that he has a legitimate claim for disability. But the insurance company doesn't understand.
Hey, we're going to bring you back. Hang on, Bill. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Did you know that pH balance is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 9 or higher. Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals and elements. This product is a one-of-a-kind in its strength and effectiveness. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline while helping you get rid of acid and regaining your health and energy. With just 10 drops, you can raise the pH level of the water you drink up to the pH of 10. Alkalizing water helps the body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-344-3420 today.
If this is your paycheck and this is your debt, what are your options? File bankruptcy and tread water the next 7 years? Or make a call for Care One Credit Counseling Services and start getting out of debt today. A Care One Credit Counseling Agency can help you get immediate relief from stress caused by debt, and you'll have one lower monthly payment instead of the pile you have right now. Call a Care One agent today, and you can start saving hundreds of dollars in fees and interest payments. Care One agencies have helped over 4 million people get out of debt, and they can help you too. Call 800-498-2981, 800-498-2981, and find out how you can lower your monthly payments up to 57%. One 15-minute phone call can change your life.
Call 800-498-2981. 800-498-2981.
Provider and licensing details are available.
High fuel prices for gasoline and diesel are taking a huge bite out of budgets for individuals and businesses. But there is something you can do. Fuel Saver Incorporated's Fuel Enhancer Formula will not only stretch each gallon of fuel further for mere pennies per treated gallon, but also cleans fuel injectors, pumps, and reduces emissions. Average improvement in fuel economy typically ranges from 8 to 20% or more, saving you 30 to 80 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump. Now there's a boost for your budget. Fuel Saver Incorporated's product is completely safe for your vehicle, gas or diesel. In fact, the product is currently in use in motorcycles, cars, trucks, buses, RVs, boats, ships, and locomotives. Go to FuelSaverInc.com today. That's FuelSaverInc.com. Or call toll-free 866-768-7811. Call now, 866-768-7811. Or go to FuelSaverInc.com. Fuel Saver Fuel Enhancer. Start saving on fuel today.
Fact. Rapid industrialization has resulted in environmental pollution, and its curse on world health is staggering. We live in a toxic world that is bombarded by 7 new chemicals each day. The human body is amazing and efficient in design, but because of the polluted world in which we live, is unable to remove all toxins. The solution. Detoxification integrated with Electro-Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa. The Electro-Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa helps to aid in cleansing the body of harmful toxins while energizing and oxygenating your entire body at the cellular level. Detoxification works with the Electro-Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa because it addresses the needs of individual cells, the building blocks of human life. For mental clarity, restored vitality, a stronger immune system, clear skin, and health in every aspect of your being. Order your Electro-Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa by visiting NutraMedical.com or call Dr. William Deagle at 888-212-8871. 888-212-8871.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number at 1-800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, and they include the Shrine of Female Listeners, dozens of ladies who've sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. Just head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what it's all about. That's shrine.freetalklive.com.
If you have a company or know somebody who does, related to them, that kind of thing, need to try something new in the area of collections, SACL CAI is the main sponsor of the show. They do collections, they do early out billing, they purchase charged off receivables. Jason and his dad, Mike, are really great guys, and give them some business, would you? That's SACL CAI. You can check out their banner at freetalklive.com and do business with businesses. Support Free Talk Live.
As we continue with your phone calls, Bill is on the line still in Oklahoma. Bill, you are in the middle of making a point. We had to brutally interrupt you because of the break that slammed in there on us. What was it that you were saying? If you could just recap briefly.
Sure. As I was telling the listeners before, I am on the government's payroll reluctantly because I do have a spinal cord injury. And I was just going to point out that the insurance company that this gentleman is going through is obviously using SSI's litmus test to prove the severity of his disability. This is a very poor litmus test because everybody with a whooping cough and a hangnail can apply for benefits, which is completely wrong.
Hmm.
But the system is designed for people that have paid into the system over a period of time, and they should be able to get back what they put into it without a doubt. Unfortunately, Social Security has turned into one huge governmental Ponzi scheme because you can get into a car accident, say that you've got whiplash, and I need to start collecting benefits. That might be a far stretch, but similar cases have proven to happen. So I would not, if I was the insurance company, I definitely wouldn't pin all of my my decisions on whether or not the claim should be paid out simply because somebody jumps on the SSI bandwagon. The second point that I would like to make is if this gentleman does decide to take the handout, he is going to put himself and his family in a huge disadvantage because now they've got to make below a certain amount.
Really?
Now, if he is the only breadwinner, then this won't really affect the family completely. If he says he was the only one bringing in an income, mm-hmm. but let's say he's married and has a wife, or yeah, married. He's got a wife. He's got a wife. She's out on the workforce. She's got to take a pay cut just so he can get the benefits because you can only make a certain amount before SSI will completely cut you off completely.
So in order to get the insurance coverage, he has to apply for SSI, and if he's got people in his home that are also earning income, they will be factored in to whether or not he's accepted.
That's correct.
Huh.
That really seems unfair.
Yeah.
I mean, if the FSI turns you down because your wife makes more money, then the insurance company doesn't have to pay?
I don't know about his insurance company. I mean,
I don't either.
That's something that he'd have to check with the insurance company. But, yeah, if he takes that money, then, yes, basically it's not just affecting him. Hmm. It's affecting anybody in the household that's bringing in income. So my alternative solution to this, looking at charities is a good way of, getting the little assistance that you need. But I would also suggest maybe looking at some part-time online ventures. There's things that you can do online that will more than supplement the income coming in, and it really shouldn't hamper his disability at all. All it takes is him sitting down at a keyboard for a couple of hours a day. Maybe do some auctions on eBay, or maybe participate in some marketing ventures.
Or you could do phone whoring. Bill, thanks for the call. Appreciate the suggestions tonight and the expertise and the experience. As we continue, Betty is on the line in North Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Betty.
Hello there, guys.
Hi, Betty. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I got the same situation that's happening. I called in about a month ago, and I got injured on the job. And I had to file for a Social Security disability. Well, I've been getting it now since 1999.
Okay.
And in 2001, after that is when I got Bureau of Workman's Compensation money. Because I got injured on the job. I got a lower back injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a spinal cord stimulator in it. So the government decided 4 years down the road that they stated that I owed them $8,000.
Wait a minute. So they'd been paying out, and then they decided they made an error later on?
Yeah, because of me getting Bureau of Workman's Compensation for me being injured. They dinged me for it, so I had to pay back $8,000, and I still owe them $6,000. And I just come up again now in front of where I've been awarded permanent total disability. And once the government finds out about that again, they're going to ding me again.
So they're going to take money away from your disability?
The government, takes away from you.
Say that again, Mark.
So they're going to take money away from the disability check that they're giving you when you're totally disabled in order to pay them back for a disability that you had?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Are you paying them interest on this as well?
No.
Thank goodness.
That's okay, I guess, but still, this is not an uncommon story, and I'm sorry it's happening to you, where the government, whether it be disability or FEMA, we've seen stories where the government will supposedly accidentally pay out too much to one of its recipients. They realize their mistake later on down the line, and of course, by that time, the money's gone in many people's cases because they've got other debts they're paying off and other things that they're dealing with. Or they just wanted to buy a big plasma TV. And, then they have to pay. Then the government demands that money back, and nobody's expecting that to happen. They could just let it go, but that's not how they are, because they don't care.
No, that's not the way they work. They wait until they go down the road, and then they find out that they've overpaid you. And then once you get overpaid, and then the money that you do get every month for being compensated, they take away from the check that you are getting, so you're not really making that much money at all.
Betty, I wish you good luck. I thank you for the call tonight. When you're out at a restaurant and you order something and they bring you something extra, something you didn't order, they don't come back 5 minutes later after you started shoveling the mashed potatoes into your mouth and, slug you in the stomach to get you to spew it out so you can,
You for it.
Right.
I mean, it's essentially something that was delivered to you unless it was they
made a mistake.
Some kind of fraud, but
No, when business makes a mistake, they just eat the cost. because that's good business. You make a mistake, you might let the customer know there's a chance you could get the product back or the customer is going to be helpful in that way, but you can't expect anything like that because it was your responsibility to ensure, as the business person, doing whatever it is the customer was asking for, it was your responsibility to make sure you were accurate in providing the service or the product that was being desired. If you gave too much change back, or if you gave them the wrong product or gave them, for instance, a better model than what they purchased, you eat that. And, you know, that makes the customer feel good about your business, and they're more likely to tell other people and come back and buy something in the future.
But the government doesn't have competition, so they don't need to work like that.
No, the government doesn't care. They've got men with guns on their side, and if they decide they want money back out of you, then all they have to do is, all they have to do is demand it. And then if you don't pay, then they hurt you. So it's really sad, and I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, all these stories are...
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that happen to anybody. Here's a quickie for you, since we're talking about governments and health-related things. From the Times Online in the UK, health service dentists have been forced to go on holiday or spend time on the golf course this month, despite millions of patients being denied dental care. Now, remember when we talked to old Cory Doctorow, the author, and he was telling us just about how great things were in the socialized medicine system over there in the UK?
I hear reports constantly of the contrary.
Here's another one for you. Many have fulfilled their annual work quotas allotted by the National Health Service and have been turning patients away because they are not paid to do extra work. This is despite the fact that more than 7 million people in Britain are unable to find a National Health Service dentist. 7 million people can't even get through the door at one of these government dentists.
Cory Doctorow was out of town in Manchester, walked in, got some service, bam, right out the door, whatever he claims.
Yeah, so. he was acting like it's always been great, and it's great for everybody. And if you don't hear about these numbers, you don't hear the horror stories, you have no idea. He's just gotten lucky so far. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
As many of you know, I put on a little extra weight with the baby. Not much, 10 or 15 pounds, but my pants don't fit right anymore. Some of them are darn hard to button. Now, I'm not a real good dieter. I cut back for a day or two, and then I break down and end up binging. My exercise schedule has been pretty lax, too. So I needed another solution. Well, I heard about a product called Dex-C20. I contacted them. I've been taking the product for about 10 days now, and I've lost 2 pounds. Now, that may not seem like a whole bunch, but I haven't done anything else. No dieting and no exercise outside of my normal activity. Most weight loss supplements make me mean and crazy. I can't take them. I'm too sensitive to the stimulants. Not Dex-C20. It's all natural and has none of the stimulants. You can find it at most major drugstores like Walgreens, CVS, or GNC. Go and pick up a bottle of Dex-C20 in the gold box today and start losing weight the easy way. Dex-C20.
Why should we fire Congress? Because they use the Constitution of the United States as a scrap of paper. They swear an oath to follow it, and then they reject it. That was their employment document. They haven't followed it. Congressmen, senators, you're fired.
Washington, you're fired!
I think it's the next freedom to fascism.
Washington, you're fired was born out of sheer frustration with abuses in our current political system, and it gives a voice to Americans across the country. Washington, you're fired examines constitutional issues as they relate to the Katrina disaster, the president's illegal spy program, NSA data mining, FISA secret court, the illegal wiretapping of millions of Americans, and the last 7 years of terror-related spy bills, how they affect you, and what you can do about it. Washington, You're Fired captures the spirit and zest of an old-fashioned Boston Tea Party. Kem Williams describes the film as a rabble-rousing call to arms. We invite you to make the change with us. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the video tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Please visit TakeBackWashington.com.
Go to HempUSA.org. Go to HempUSA.org and ask your legislator and ask your congressman. And ask your president, why can't we grow it here? And ask those companies that love their profits and disease, why can't we grow it here? Try our powder, seeds, and oil. Try our 5-pound sampler. And get free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hemp. USA.org. Go to hempusa.org.
call us at 908-691-2608. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org.
Hi, this is Alex Jones, and I want to talk to you about the high price of gasoline. It's no secret that gasoline quality is poor, even though we're paying record prices at the pump. I have run across a company called SFR, who has developed two products that improve gas mileage. Instead of paying a mechanic as much as $300 to clean your injection system, Protecta Complete Fuel System Treatment cleans to 95% of new engine condition, improving mileage in only one tank full. Protecta Engine Treatment not only reduces friction, but it extends the life of your engine. Let's face it, with the high price of gasoline, it's time to take action. Purchase a Protecta Fuel System Treatment for only $9.95 and receive a free engine treatment, which is a $12.95 value free. Call 888-USE-SFR1. That number again is 888-USE-SFR1. Or check them out online at oilcompanysecret.com. That's oilcompanysecret.com. Satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. And it's safe for all cars. Act now.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And log on at freetalklive.com.
Live, it's your show. You can bring up anything toll free at 800-259-9231. Sickle CAI toll free line. Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free. And if you like Free Talk Live and want to help support the show, then become an amplifier. Just go to amp.freetalklive.com and send us $3 a month via any major credit card or PayPal or one of our alternate options. We take that money and reinvest it into the show, getting on more radio stations across the country and spreading the message of freedom and liberty as far and as wide as possible. We also outreach to internet listeners as well, again, bringing new ears to the program. And if that sounds good, plus you want perks like access to the Amp-only call-in lines, the chat room, forum, and more, go and get all the details and get signed up at amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com. So we are talking about the National Health Service, as it is called over in Great Britain. Now, we've been told all manner of different things about this socialized medicine.
It's great, it sucks, and
some people
in
say it's awful, and we've certainly read plenty of horror stories about it, and we've heard people just glowing and talking about how wonderful it is. And, you know, maybe for some of those people, it is good. Maybe they do get good attention from people that really care. I believe that. I have no reason to disbelieve people like Cory Doctorow when they make those claims. But it doesn't, in any way, if the service is good, it doesn't in any way justify stealing from your neighbor in order to pay for this service that you like so much. And that's what the heart and the root of socialized medicine is. It's everyone is forced to pay.
You know, what really kills me is I've heard a lot of people from Canada on one hand, one side of their mouth, they're talking about how great it is because that's what they've been indoctrinated in the schools. How great whole life, how great their healthcare system is. But then they complain like crazy out of the other side of their mouth how terrible it is and how they have to wait 2 or 3 months to see the doctor.
Well, now, usually, though, it's the older people that complain more because the younger people are very, very healthy, and so they don't really know.
Sure, you don't.
They're fresh out of school.
From the ages of 7 to 55 or so, you're not going to the doctor. So having free medical service sitting there in case you get hit by a bus or struck by a meteor or something like that is fantastic.
So here is another story, as we're talking about here. The National Health Service dental service in Great Britain is...
Everybody needs that.
...is nationalized. And they're forcing their dentists to go on holiday or spend time on the golf course because they filled their work quotas. And they're not allowed to continue doing extra work on top of filling out their quota. As a result of that, it's one of the reasons, at least, why 7 million people in Great Britain are unable to find a National Health Service dentist to attend. So they're paying.
There's a lot of people with wooden teeth in Great Britain.
Yeah, well, they tear their own teeth out in some cases. And these are people who are paying every single paycheck money into this system who are left out in the cold, unable to actually find anybody to give them service.
It's because their money's going into a big pool, big rat hole.
Right, and all of the people that manage to get service, they happen to already have the doctors, they can go and get their service, but everybody that's out on the street trying to get in, they can't even find a free doctor because the government system doesn't respond to supply and demand. It doesn't have market signals it responds to because it gets the same amount of money regardless of the satisfaction level of the customers. There's no government bureaucracy that cares that there are 7 million people. I mean, they might care, but they don't have the incentive to do anything about those 7 million people out
there. Not to mention when it comes to the drugs, the drug manufacturers put up, you know, just a tremendous amount of money into developing a drug because, you know, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of avenues that they try that don't make it past the first or second or third tier of testing that they do themselves before they even start to bring it to the FDA or anything like that. It's an extraordinarily expensive process. And, you know, obviously the drugs are much more expensive here in the United States, and I just don't think that we'd be supporting, the world would be able to support, if everybody is socialized, the world would be able to support these drugs being manufactured. I think that you'd see a slowdown to a stop in the area of pharmacology.
If the government's doing research, they won't know where to invest. They don't have any idea what to do with their money. They're a bunch of bureaucrats making arbitrary decisions.
Yeah, and the FDA is a monopoly, too. It's a coercive monopoly. It forces people to use drugs when maybe that's not the optimal solution, and they're very expensive. But the biggest
because
problem...
Because that benefits their clients.
Yes, exactly. And the problem here, too, is do you want the government deciding, you know, if you get health care or not? Who lives and who dies? That's a eugenics tool to me.
That's exactly what they do. But in this case, we're just talking about teeth. So we're talking about whose teeth gets taken care of and whose doesn't.
But you can die if
it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Patients, they've been told they must either pay privately or return in April when the new work year begins. People suffering from toothaches have been advised to go to the hospital. Several areas have been affected, and the secretary of the local dental committee estimates that up to a third of dentists in the West Midlands have run out of work or have had to reduce the number of NHS patients that they treat. Patients in pain have had to shop around to find a dentist that has not used up their quota. The British Dental Association fears that other dentists have been unable to meet their quotas and will be forced to pay back thousands of pounds to the National Health Service. So apparently if you don't meet your quota, then you owe the government. And the health department says dentists should have managed their workload throughout the year. So instead of, you know, bulking up and helping as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, they should have just denied a bunch of people and spread it out across the entire year. That's what they're saying. So private dental insurance is available in the UK, but it's just like with private schools here in America, where if you want to go and get private dental insurance, you have to pay above and beyond the amount that you're already paying the government in taxes for their government
system. I think you're more incentivized because the people that hold the purse strings, in that case, if the family, if I am the breadwinner, if my tooth hurts, I am going to get private dental insurance. I'm going to go see a private dentist. I'm going to get my stuff fixed.
Sure you are, but you can afford that.
If I'm if it's my child and I'm sending them to school, I figure I'm not really there. You know, kids like school. They don't like school. They don't have the language to say, look, that this the language or the perspective to say this school stinks compared to a private school or whatever. So you're more removed from the school equation. The buyer is more removed from the school equation than in the tooth situation.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from, Mark, but a lot of these people we're talking about don't have the kind of disposable income that you may have. They may live in an inner city. They may be very, very...
Well, I'm just saying that they're closer to the buying, scenario. I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't or anything like that. I don't know. I mean, doesn't it stink that you're being robbed to pay for your tooth care and then you can't get your darn tooth care and then you have to go pay for your tooth care again?
Right. That does suck, but that's what is happening to people, and many of these people are so poor. They're living hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck, because they're being taxed so incredibly large amount. They're paying through these taxes. They just don't have a lot left in order to go and buy those things above and beyond the amount they're taxed for. And they probably feel like they're owed these services. I mean, they're paying for them, so they have probably an entitlement mentality about the fact that they should be able to get them. But unfortunately, 7 million people in Great Britain are out in the cold. They aren't able to find a National Health Service dentist. Now, it doesn't say how many of those 7 million opt to go with private services, but that is the amount of people that they say can't even find a dentist. So how is it somebody could look at a socialist medicine system, hear a story like that, and say, well, that's okay.
Insanity.
This is good. You know, well, at least the people that are getting served are getting it free. But they're not. They're paying for it through their paychecks. And how you could look at that story and just blow it off, I don't understand. I think that the people that love socialized medicine just don't want to hear stuff like this. They don't believe that it could be true because they've had good experiences and they might know people that have had good experiences, but clearly they don't know everybody.
Yeah, I can't take away from the good experiences that somebody had. I can't say, no, it didn't happen. I wouldn't say that. But the numbers. They don't lie. What are these news stories just not true? Are we?
This is from the UK.
Are we believing a bunch of crap that's just not so here? I mean, what?
Times Online.
What am I supposed to do with this?
And by the way, for any new listeners, we're not trying to say that the American system is the greatest thing in the world either.
No. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, because sometimes people take it. They'll get into the polarity thing, you know. And we don't want to play into that. We're saying that a free market medical system is the optimal. We have a cartelized, corporatized medical system in this country, and it is very expensive, although it does provide better care for a lot of people, not everybody either.
It's better than socialized medicine, but it's not as good as it could be. We are in this country, the medical system is mostly socialized in that the dollars that are floating around out there in the medical realm are, for the most part, spent by governments. So over 50% of medical dollars are spent by governments, meaning that there's all kinds of bureaucratic red tape and strings attached to that money that these doctors have to jump through in order to get their payment. In many cases, the payment actually doesn't pay for the costs of the technologies that they're using to do those things. So they actually have to raise the price of the cash prices for people that don't have the insurance coverage in order to make up some of the difference.
Right. You also have certain cartels that have weaseled their way in between the doctor and the patient, who steal most of the money. And when we had a more doctor-patient free market system before the 60s, medical care was a lot less expensive, and it was a doctor-patient relationship.
There are still apparently some doctors that do not accept insurance, and they do not accept Medicare or any of those government programs, and they are able to do health care at relatively inexpensive rates.
Same with those clinics at Walmart.
The walk-ins, yeah.
Yes, the walk-ins. Clinics. Also, and they list their prices, and it's just like a menu at a restaurant. You can pick what you want done to you.
And, of course, the big objection is, well, what about the poor? Well, what about the 7 million people in Great Britain that can't find a flipping government dentist?
I bet you they're, it seems to me it's likely that those people are poor rather than rich.
Yeah, and in the marketplace, since things are cheaper when you bring in competition and free market environment, people have more money in their pocket with which to give to charity wings of hospitals to help the poor people. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Looking for profits? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
We all know